This week we are continuing in our series in John. My name is Josh, by the way, in case I've never got to meet you. I'm one of the pastors here with my wife, Rebecca. And we've been going through a series on the miracles of Christ called Miraculous. And this week, I'm going to keep it short. I really am, because we have an incredible testimony that we're going to hear later on today. Because today is our Healing Sunday, and we're going to be praying for each other, for God to do amazing things, just like the kids know He can. But before we do that, I want to dive in. I know some of you are thinking that He's not going to keep it short. I am. I promise. I'm going to keep it short. If you'll turn open with me to John chapter 6 this morning, we're also going to put it on the screen for you. It's on page 867 in your Bibles, if you got those. Wait, we don't have pew Bibles here. What am I doing? You guys got phones, but you don't have pew Bibles. All right, we're going to read John 6, verses 1 through 15. John 6, verse 1 says, "After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following Him because they saw the signs that He was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with His disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When He looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward Him, Jesus said to Philip, 'Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?' He said this to test him, for He Himself knew that what He was going to do. Philip answered Him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to Him, 'There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?' Jesus said, 'Make the people sit down.' Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, He told His disciples, 'Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost.' So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that He had done, they began to say, 'This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world.' When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take Him by force to make Him king, He withdrew again to the mountain by Himself." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, as we dig into Your word this morning, we come with anticipation. Lord, I come hoping that You will well up within us an understanding of what it means to rely solely on You, even with things that are impossible. It's in Your name we pray, Christ. Amen. All right, well, all of us have those people we've looked up to in our lives as role models. I like a lot of folks, I had a coach I kind of looked up to, and one of the things I looked up to him is he never would give up. Never, ever would give up. Just wasn't in his DNA. Couldn't do it. And one particular match, soccer match we were playing, we were down 4-0 at halftime. We were getting destroyed. I mean, these guys were so much better. And we were trying. We really were trying. But we were getting destroyed. And I just remember this. I don't know why. We got on the sideline, and he's got us all a straight line. And he's, you know, coach speak, up and down, back and forth. And he's saying, "Well, listen, this next half we're going to get in there, and we're going to do this, and we're not going to do that. And we're going to do this, and we're not going to do that. And we're going to definitely do this, but we're not going to do that." And he's getting all worked up. And finally, he goes, "And gentlemen, listen, right now we have them right where we want them." As it turned out, they had us right where they wanted us. We got creamed. We did not win that match. But I came away with an early lesson of grace in that moment, and that is that sometimes you can bring everything you've got. Everything you've got. And it's still not enough. It's still not enough. And when those moments are a little more significant than, let's say, a game, it's your life. And you're bringing everything you've got. And you're trying. You're really trying. And it's just not enough. Sometimes, those are the moments when God has us right where He wants us. One of the big questions this text asks us today, I think, is why does God test us? Why does God test us? He tests us, doesn't he? He does do this. And the short answer is, I think, to get us right where he wants us. And that's to completely rely on what he can do. So we're going to dig into this a little bit this morning, though, but not very long, because I'm going to keep it short. I promise. This is one of those passages. It's in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's in all of them. But John seems to like to add his own little spins on things, and he does so with this text, per usual. And there's a couple different details he's going to add here, but as they're retreating up this mountainside, they're coming from this time of ministry. They've gone across the sea. They're up the mountainside. Well, they look back, and they realize they're being followed, and they're coming, whole group of people. The text says 5,000. Most scholars think that's just heads of households, right? That's the men. There could be close to 20,000 people following them. That's a lot of people, right? So you can understand the humor here when Jesus leans over to Philip and says, "Hey, Philip, how do you think we buy enough food for all these people?" I don't know what Philip was expecting them to ask, but I don't think that was the one. Because he looks back and he's looking at Jesus, he's looking back, he's looking at Jesus, and he says, point blank, 6 months of wages would not even fill these people up. I mean, they'd maybe get a little, maybe. And I think in this moment, Jesus has Philip right where he wants him. Yeah. Because why is he doing this? Once again, why is he doing this? To test Philip. That's what the text says. John's the only one that says that. But to test Philip. Now, I think it's only human nature to hear that and go, I don't like to be tested. Because if I'm tested, then what could I possibly do? Fail. You could fail the test. Show of hands, who likes failing? Whoa. Don't ask us those kind of questions, Josh. Come on, man. We could fail. But you know what? God loves to test you because he knows it's good and he knows it's perfect. You need it. Now just think about that for a second. It is good to be tested by the Lord. Just process that for a minute. It's good to be tested by the Lord, or he wouldn't do it. Plain and simple, amen? Well, Philip rightly responds to this by saying 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them. In other words, Jesus, this is impossible. This is impossible. He's got them right where he wants them, right? Have you ever been in that place before? It's one of those places where you feel like the Lord is stretching you in your faith, and you're looking at it going, I have no idea how to do this. Like, that's where you're starting. Like, you're just like Philip. You're like, not possible. Can't do that. Anybody here ever been in that place? Lord's stretching you. You can tell this is a test, and you can tell this is not a test you're going to pass with your own knowledge. You'd look off of somebody else's sheet, but there's nobody else around. It's only you. Now, there's another guy here that's going to respond to this, and this Andrew. And I bet there's some of us in here that are Andrews. Because Andrew, what he's going to do is he's going to hear this, and he's going to go, okay, I get it. We don't have enough to buy it, but I'm going to go out there and see how much food I can really find. And I just imagine Andrew going out there, and he's up and down, all right. You got any food? Anybody? Who's got food? He's asking for food. It's Jesus. And he finds one person who's got food. Who is it? It's a little boy. He's got lunch. Now, I know there's a lot of people in here that are saying, Josh, stop prizing the little boy. He never would have brought it if his mom hadn't packed it for him. Now, but there he is. 5 little tiny barley loaves. 2 little fish. What's it say here? It says he brought them back. I like how it puts it here. But what are they among so many people? What are they among so many people? Andrew knows. He's tried everything he could. I mean, he went all over the place. All I could find is one kid with food. Anybody here that kind of person? It's like the Lord. You can feel the Lord's calling you to do something, and you're going to give it everything you've got, and you go down swinging. show Jesus I got what it takes. And then you discover that you don't. But maybe it's more serious than that. Maybe it is something that you're desperate and you have tried and tried and tried and tried, and you're finding that you really can't do it. You don't have enough. Sometimes these are instances where the Lord has us right where He wants us. I'm just going to read this part of the passage again. Verse 11, then Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, He told His disciples, gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that He had done, they began to say, this is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. This past week we had chapel with the preschoolers, and I gave a similar talk on this passage that I did with our kids this morning. And I had them do the whole, once they ate, I had them rub their tummies and say, I'm full. I'm not going to make you do it. But all the kids, I'm full. They just let it go. But there's this one little guy in the front row that raised his hand and didn't even wait for me to call him. He just said, I am shocked. I am shocked. Now, I've preached on these passages a couple times. I've heard many more sermons, but I have never heard anybody respond with such correctness to this passage as that little guy did. I am shocked. I am shocked. And I told him, as you should be. And he nodded, yes. We've heard this text so many times, right? We know it. We know the text. Even people that aren't church people, they know this text. They've heard Jesus feeding the 5,000. This is not new news to anybody. We've heard it. Jesus feeds the 5,000. You could tell me the story in your sleep. But to the ears of a child who was not familiar with it, he knew bread doesn't work like that. You don't put a couple pieces in and then get 12 baskets of leftovers. I'm shocked. I'm shocked. It's like Stephen A. sitting in the front row. I'm shocked. That would be impossible unless Jesus is God. That's impossible unless Jesus is miraculous. That's impossible unless Philippians 4:13 is true and it says all things are possible through Christ. I'm done. I'm winding it down. I told you I was going to keep it short today. Miss Carol Baker has a phenomenal, phenomenal testimony. She's going to share with you about just the miraculous nature of God doing things that are impossible. And then we're going to go into a time of healing prayer. But my hope this morning is that you would be shocked just a little, just a little. That the Spirit would well up within you, eyes to see and ears to hear, that bread don't work like that. That what Jesus did was phenomenal. That He takes the impossibilities of our lives. And sometimes they're tests. Sometimes it's just the product of living in a fallen world, and it's really awful. And He meets us in those impossibilities. And He does wonderful things that reveal Him, glorify Him, and enable us to know Him as Lord and Savior. Every month we do this, we have this healing service where we pray for things that honestly are impossible. Why do we do that? Because we know that we have a God who feeds 5,000 when nobody else brought anything to the table. He's the kind of God that the rest of the world would call foolish. But we pray for things that are just Sunday in the kingdom of God. It's just another day, because God is the God of the impossible. I want to encourage you. We're going to do communion. We're going to hear an amazing testimony. And if the Lord is putting something on your heart this morning that is impossible, come ask for prayer. For no other reason than we'd be fools not to. Amen? Let me pray for us. Father, we're grateful for what you do. We're grateful for what you've done in Jesus Christ on the cross. That was, you did the impossible. You saved us. Not from anything we've done, but you saved us through the precious blood of Christ. But Lord, that pattern continues even today. You save us. You do the things that we cannot do. So Father, we ask, wherever we need faith, wherever you're calling us to just have an encounter through prayer this morning, to give us the faith we need to step forward. Father, wherever those impossibilities are in our lives, Lord Jesus, we ask that you would, whatever way is significant to each one of us, just grow us in relying on you. Grow us in relying deeply on you. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.